It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Bankruptcy in the Rochester Diocese. That is our top story at noon today. Family Life's Bob Price gets us started.
Yeah, Bill, the diocese in Rochester, one of eight across the state, but the first to declare bankruptcy. That filing made this morning in the Flower City at U.S. Bankruptcy Court. It's the financial fallout from a decades-long child sex abuse scandal. The diocese faces nearly 50 sex abuse lawsuits under the recently passed Child Victims Act. The Buffalo Diocese named it over 100 abuse claims under this law. The bishop there, Richard Malone, continues to resist calls to step down, but a huge story today, Bill, as the first diocese in the state of New York declares financial bankruptcy under the recently passed Child Victims Act. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Debate night in America. That is the other big story at noon.
Finally, the top two are on a stage together.
For the very first time, the front runners Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden will share the same stage tonight along with eight other White House wannabes. Correspondent Steve Futterman reports from Houston.
When you are on top, you get the most attention. For Joe Biden, that means he can expect to come under attack tonight. How he withstands those anticipated attacks and how he responds could determine if this is a good or bad night for the former vice president. In the first two debates, Biden got mixed reviews.
Steve Futterman reporting. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe says, well, much of the focus will be on Biden and Warren tonight. Another Democrat could make some big gains with a big performance.
There's another person who's on stage with Elizabeth Warren for the first time, and that's the California Senator Kamala Harris. 29% of people who'd been supporting Kamala Harris over the summer have now switched their support to Elizabeth Warren. So keep an eye tonight on whether the two of them, perhaps, have some fiery exchanges.
O'Keefe says Harris has to make a move tonight, or it could be curtains for her.
Absolutely. If Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren are really the only three contenders sitting in double digits, everybody else has got to try to make their mark. But they do so at their own peril. Remember, Joe Biden has been singled out by other lesser-known contenders in the first two debates, and those contenders are no longer in the race.
And with Houston hosting tonight's debate, O'Keefe expects the two Texans to go after each other.
Beto O'Rourke, who really has recalibrated his campaign since the shootings in El Paso, and Julian Castro, the former housing secretary and mayor of San Antonio, neither wants to see the other one in the race and wants to be the only Texan left on Super Tuesday. I suspect there could be some fireworks between them tonight.
The Trump campaign plans to fly a massive banner over tonight's debate from Houston, which starts at 8 on ABC. The House Judiciary Committee has taken the first step towards impeachment proceedings against the president. Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says the resolution passed today allows committee staff from both parties to question witnesses.
Represents the necessary next step in our investigation of corruption, obstruction, and abuse of power.
But the ranking Republican on the committee, Georgia's Doug Collins, called the impeachment proceedings a walk down the yellow brick road.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Today's committee vote on the guidelines for impeachment proceedings passed along party lines. Big win for President Trump. The Supreme Court will let the administration enforce its new asylum rules.
This ruling from the Supreme Court overrides an injunction from the Ninth Circuit that blocked enforcement of the Trump administration's policy regarding asylum seekers from the southern border.
That's legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The policy denied asylum claims from those who passed through other what would be described as safe countries and did not first seek asylum there.
The new rules say folks seeking asylum need to do so in a third country. That would block immigrants from Central America from seeking asylum at the U.S. southern border. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denying a report that claims Israel spied on President Trump. Correspondent Mike Bauer says it apparently involved placing cell phone devices near the White House.
Politico reports that three former U.S. officials discovered evidence of the surveillance devices sometime over the past 2 years around Washington, D.C., and were likely intended to spy on Trump's communications. Even though U.S. intelligence agencies concluded Israel was responsible for the spying devices, the Trump administration reportedly didn't rebuke or take any action against the Israeli government. The Office of Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reportedly described the report on Thursday as a blatant lie and said Israel doesn't engage in any intelligence operations in the U.S.
That's Mike Bauer reporting. Prime Minister Netanyahu met today with Russian ruler Vladimir Putin. The get-together took place in Sochi, Russia, site of the 2014 Winter Olympics. Iran and Syria dominating much of the talks. President Trump wants to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes to teenagers. Health Secretary Alex Azar.
An entire generation of children risk becoming addicted to nicotine because of the attractiveness, appealability, and availability of these vaping products.
The FDA would still allow tobacco-flavored e-cig sales to adults. New Jersey could be the first state in the country to ban vaping. Senate President Stephen Sweeney says he plans to propose legislation that would phase out all vaping products in the Garden State. Questions today about last year's Triple Crown winner, Justify.
Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner!
The New York Times says Justify failed a drug test weeks before he went on to win the Kentucky Derby. The Times says the California Racing Board took more than a month to confirm the test results and made a closed-door decision to drop the case. The cost of owning a car skyrocketing in these United States.
AAA says the annual cost of owning one is more than $9,800, starting with financing. That's up nearly 25% from last year, and it accounts for 40% of the total cost. Many people are stretching out car loans to 72 months. That ultimately is more expensive. The Auto Club says depreciation accounts for more than a third of the total cost. Fuel is up nearly 12 cents a mile. Maintenance up nearly 9 cents a mile from last year.
That's Peter King reporting. Still to come this Thursday, the Rochester Diocese declares bankruptcy, closing the gender pay gap in Pennsylvania. And wind energy, it's up for debate tonight in Windsor.
Good afternoon. Well, like they say, what a difference a day makes. Temperatures yesterday were heading for the 80s, but today some of us will be stuck in the 60s. We'll talk about passing showers and clearing skies coming up in the forecast. I'll look for you in 10 minutes.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA, Thursday, September 12th. Once again, our top story at noon, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Rochester, New York, filing for bankruptcy. That filing made this morning in bankruptcy court in Rochester. The financial fallout from a decades-long child sex abuse scandal. The diocese in Rochester, one of eight across the state, but the first to declare bankruptcy. Erie County, New York, putting up a roadblock on Governor Cuomo's plan for license plate fees. Fresh off their August recess, local lawmakers today will introduce a resolution opposing the governor's proposed $25 fee for new plates that are 10 years or older.
It's a bad idea. The timing is bad. I think the idea is bad. You know, outward appearances, it looks like a cash grab.
Erie County legislator John Brusso will introduce today's resolution. He's also the legislature's top Democrat. He says both Republicans and Democrats in Erie County are united in opposing the governor's plan for license plate fees.
I don't think that a mandate should come from the state telling us that we have to turn in our license plates that are perfectly good.
Governor Cuomo says the license plates are needed for the changing technology with tolling in New York State, which is anticipating a switch to cashless tolls by the end of next year. St. John Fisher College near Rochester, New York, the latest school to ban vaping. The college also snuffing out cigarettes. Officials say starting January 1st, the campus will be smoke, tobacco, and vape free.
We're very concerned about individuals' health and brought this together as a petition to move forward.
Fisher College has been working on the plan for 2 years now. The Wolf administration working to close the gender pay gap in Pennsylvania. The governor hosting a series of salary negotiation workshops for women all across the Commonwealth. Those workshops will start later this month and go through January. Tom Wolf says in the Keystone State, women working full-time are paid just 80 cents for every dollar a man makes. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has been asked to outlaw the death penalty because of what critics call the cruel way it's been applied to poor and black defendants. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Assistant Federal Defender Timothy Kane told the court more than half of the 441 death sentences handed down since the death penalty was reinstated in the late 70s have been deemed flawed and overturned. Most of the time, the sentence or verdict was reversed on appeal because of the work of court-appointed lawyers working with limited public funds. The five Democrats and two Republicans on the state Supreme Court did not indicate when they would make a decision. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. In York, Pennsylvania, police there say two separate overnight shootings have left two people dead, another in critical condition. Authorities haven't said yet if the shootings were connected. No suspects are in custody. So far this year, 10 people have been shot and killed in York, Pennsylvania. Wind energy being debated tonight at the Windsor High School in upstate New York. A Texas-based company wants to build nearly 30 wind turbines in the towns of Windsor and in Sanford. Tonight's public hearing gets underway at 5:30. Well, the long ball on full display this year in Big League Baseball. It's sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, we start with history in Baltimore.
And that ball is tied!
Jonathan Villar belted tie-breaking three-run homer in the seventh. The O's beat the Dodgers 7-3. That was the 6,106th homer this year in the Bigs, a Major League single-season record. There's still 18 games to go. In Philadelphia, the Braves beat the Phillies 3-1. Atlanta's magic number to clinch the National League East is 8. The Phillies had just 5 singles in defeat. Gabe Kapler.
You're not going to get too high or too low. We're not going to act like we just won the World Series after we win a game, and we're not going to get too distraught after we lose a game and come back tomorrow and compete.
Philadelphia, 2 games out of the National League wild card. The Mets are also 2 games out after they blanked the Diamondbacks 9-0. Jeff McNeil says good.
They're ahead of us in the wild card race, so you know we needed to beat them. We needed to take care of them, and it's great to get those runs early. You know, we got those 5 runs in the first, and you know, Matt did his thing, and it's a good team effort today.
And the Pirates doubled up the Giants 6-3 in San Fran. American League. Nationals knock off the Twins 6-2. Steven Strasburg with his 17th win on the year. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah, we were facing a really good starting pitcher, guy with good stuff, and I thought we made him work pretty hard to get through the middle of the game, and we had some opportunities to score runs. We just weren't able to push the runs across, and I think we were pleased with the at-bats that we had.
In Anaheim, the Indians held on to beat the Angels 4-3 to climb within 4 of the Twins in the American League Central, half game out of the American League wild card. 4 Blue Jay pitchers combined on a 2-hitter, and 8-0 win against the Red Sox. NFL Week 2 kicks off tonight in Charlotte. Panthers host the Buccaneers in NFC South matchup. Both teams looking for their first win of the season. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiette.
Great job as usual. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report. Debate night tonight in Houston. Impeachment proceedings today against the president. And putting the boss under the microscope. We'll explain that after this.
Romeo met Juliet at a party. Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth met at a dance. Sandy and Danny in high school. Harry and Sally in college. But today, we swipe right or left. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Despite our ever greater mobility and even more efficient connectivity, sociologists continue to note that Americans struggle to form lasting, fulfilling relationships of all kinds, especially marriage. We face a very real epidemic of loneliness, one that is, not coincidentally, accompanied by a steady decline in marriage. According to Pew Research, marriage rates have fallen to historic lows over the last 30 years, especially among younger people. At the same time, the typical age at first marriage has climbed to a historic high. Increasingly, Americans who are looking for love can't find it, at least not in the traditional ways. And so they turn online. A new study by researchers at Johns Hopkins University reports that online dating has now replaced the church, family members, and mutual friends as the primary way American couples meet. Now, in no way am I wishing here to knock online dating per se. Many happily married Christian couples began their stories together via an online dating service. I'd suggest online dating is filling a void left as traditional social institutions fail. At the same time, plummeting marriage rates and spiking loneliness rates indicate even our best technologies will never fill the hole left as families, churches, and community become less central together. The loss or decline of core social institutions in recent decades is well documented. Just in my lifetime, extended family, youth clubs, civic organizations, and the church have all become less important to more people than ever before. This seismic social shift is a problem for many reasons, not least of which because these were places and means by which couples used to meet and connect. It's simply impossible to replace such timeless local and embodied ties with apps. In fact, it's no exaggerating that this is even a question of how the next generation will come into being and what will play the central relational roles in their lives. After all, marriage is not a standalone institution. It's part of a social fabric that's tearing apart. As fewer couples get together and form strong marriages, the faster the tear grows, and the further apart people drift. Writing at Quillette recently, Mary Eberstadt describes how the decentering of marriage and family has resulted in and reinforced the explosion of sexual and gender identities. Increasingly, young people are forced to answer that basic human question, "Who am I?" without a mother and father, without siblings, without an extended family or a community or a church body to help them. So many are just left with a letter and an acronym or an adopted sense of historical grievance to center their identities. No wonder, as Eberstadt describes in her book Primal Screams, so many identities today are so meager and so fragile, and the movements that are built around them are becoming more and more unhinged. And yet, this culture of identity and family crisis is a tremendous opportunity for the church, one that's not without historical precedent. As Rodney Stark has observed, one of the reasons that early Christianity grew so rapidly in the second century was that Roman young men turned to the church to find eligible women. The church was full of eligible young women because early Christians had faithfully rescued Roman girls from infanticide and then raised them in their communities. Years ago, I heard Maggie Gallagher suggest that it might be time for churches to kind of get back to this kind of work. While we rescue babies from abortions in both word and deed, perhaps we should also get serious about introducing singles to each other. Perhaps married Christian couples should, you know, meddle a bit more and host some matchmaking dinners. While there's a universally repeated ring-by-spring joke across every Christian college campus, perhaps marriage opportunism might be a good reason to encourage your son or daughter to attend one. I mean, where else, other than maybe working summer staff at a Christian camp, will young believers be surrounded by so many like-minded peers of the opposite sex? Having spent years watching all this in action, I promise it works. The body of Christ has a unique potential role to play in reversing the decline of marriage and the epidemic of loneliness. If we do, those looking for love may one day open the doors of the church instead of an app. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. The weekend almost here. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we find the cold front that brought showers and thunderstorms last night and this morning, pushing south and east. And in its wake, clearer, cooler, and drier air will settle in for a moonlit night tonight and for some sunshine tomorrow. In forecast form, though, for this afternoon, there'll be additional showers and even a rumble in parts of Pennsylvania, with clearing skies coming in from the north and clouds giving way to some sunshine before the afternoon is through in parts of western and central New York. It will be cooler than it was this time yesterday, with temperatures this afternoon mainly in the 60s to near 70 in New York and in the upper 60s and 70s in Pennsylvania. Then tonight the moon will ultimately shine, but fog will form, low temps upper 40s to the upper 50s. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a chance for a shower near Lake Erie and high temperatures in the 70s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, September 12th. Our top story today, the Rochester, New York Diocese declaring bankruptcy. That filing made this morning in the Flower City. Nearly 50 sex abuse claims have been made against the diocese under the recently passed Child Victims Act in New York. The Buffalo Diocese named in over 100 abuse claims. The bishop there, Richard Malone, continues to resist calls to step down. For the very first time, the top two Democratic White House hopefuls will share the stage tonight in Houston. It's debate night in America. All eyes on the front runners, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and former Vice President Joe Biden.
Big focus on those two, probably early on and maybe throughout the evening.
That's political analyst Ed O'Keefe.
In the first two rounds of debates, Biden and Warren were on competing nights, and a lot of Democrats are saying, finally, the top two are on a stage together. We'll be able to see some real contrast between the two of them.
Robbie Mook is Hillary Clinton's former campaign chief. He says Democrats remain committed to picking the candidate who can beat Donald Trump.
Viability in the general election is the obsession of Democrats right now. They really want to nominate someone who can beat Trump. And this is the first time we're seeing these two frontrunners together. And there are real questions, right? Is Warren someone who can take on Trump, or is Biden?
The Trump campaign plans to fly a massive banner over tonight's debate from Houston, which starts at 8 on ABC. The House Judiciary Committee passing the guidelines for impeachment proceedings against the president. Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says Congress has a responsibility to investigate allegations against Mr. Trump.
That responsibility includes making a judgment about whether to recommend articles of impeachment. That judgment cannot be based on our feelings about President Trump. It should not be a personal reaction to misguided policies or personal behavior.
But the ranking Republican on the committee, Doug Collins of Georgia, called today's vote a walk down the yellow brick road.
The Emerald City is impeachment. And my colleagues are desperate to get there.
Today's committee vote passed along party lines. The U.S. Supreme Court says the Trump administration can keep blocking Central American migrants from seeking asylum in the U.S. if they have not gotten clearance from Mexico.
This ruling from the Supreme Court overrides an injunction from the Ninth Circuit that blocked enforcement of the Trump administration's policy. The policy denied asylum claims from those who passed through other what would be described as safe countries and did not first seek asylum there.
That's legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hammering President Trump for diverting more than $3 billion in Defense Department funds to pay for his border wall.
The president's decision to cancel $3.6 billion for military construction initiatives makes us less safe by undermining our national security and the quality and life and the morale of our troops.
Pelosi called the move appalling. She referred to it as Trump's ego wall and that the president is undermining national security. Well, the CEOs of 145 companies all across America demanding Senate action on gun violence. Here's a reporter, Diane King-Hall.
In a letter to Congress, the business leaders implore lawmakers to widen background checks to apply to all gun sales and enact a federal red flag law. The top brass argue that current laws don't wholly reflect how people buy guns today.
That's Diane King-Hall reporting. President Trump is said to be close to making a decision on whether or not he'll support expanding background checks on gun purchases. The president wants to crack down on vaping. The administration moving to pull flavored e-cigs that are marketed to kids. Here's Health Secretary Alex Azar.
All flavors other than tobacco flavor would be removed from the market.
Six people have died from lung disease linked to vaping. Over 450 people nationwide have gotten sick. A material call from the Material Girl. Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez explains.
Madonna wants fans to leave one material possession at the door for her upcoming tour. She's banning all cell phones.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting 24 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report, a Thursday edition, right here on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, speaker, author, and entrepreneur, Jason Benham. So, Jason, Christians around the world are being persecuted for their faith, and even in the U.S., we're seeing more hostility towards Christians and biblical values. Would you briefly share the experience you and your twin brother David have had?
In 2013, a reality television show on HGTV came knocking on our door, and they signed us to a big deal, and it was because we had built a growing business, a real estate company in North Carolina, and God blessed us. So halfway through filming that show, a group called GLAAD heard about my brother and I, and they decided to put some pressure on HGTV, knowing that we were strong pro-life advocates and we were strong advocates for marriage between a man and a woman. And so they put so much pressure on HGTV, threatened to go after their advertisers if they put us on a show, that ultimately HGTV caved. And, you know, when that happened, David and I got thrust into the spotlight that so many people looked at us and said, well, what are you going to do now? You know, are you going to be quiet because you're scared of having a bad reputation? And in that moment, we felt like God told us, you guys stand strong for my truth. You know, so many people know that Jesus loves them and has a great plan for their lives, but they don't want to talk about the boundaries of God that they need to live inside of in order to experience God's blessings. But if we don't talk about the boundaries, then his blessings are replaced with burdens. Now, if you read our first book, Whatever the Cost, you'll realize that there were times where we were cowardly, but we were able to stand, and now we travel the country and encourage other Christians to stand strong for their faith, whatever the cost, especially when it comes to standing up for little baby boys and girls who have no choice.
What advice do you have for fellow Christ followers on standing up for their faith in the face of adversity? Anything besides standing strong?
Well, you know, if you don't stand strong, something terrible happens, because in Proverbs it says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous person who gives way before the wicked. And a spring and a well, those both bring water. And if they're polluted and muddied, then that very thing that's supposed to bring nourishment actually brings death. So somebody dips down into a well, and if it's polluted, they could actually get sick and ultimately die from drinking that water. And so that's what happens in culture if righteous people don't stand. If we don't stand for the truths of God's word, we stand for truth and love, of course. But if we don't stand for that, then we cease to be the nourishment that God has called us to be in culture. That's the devastation that happens if we don't stand. So it's not just a matter of, well, should I stand or should I not? No, no, no. You have no choice. The scriptures very clear that now is our time to stand and be that nourishment for this culture that needs him desperately.
Part of going against the cultural flow today is standing up for life. How have you and David taken on a proactive approach to rescue babies?
Well, back in 2010, the Lord pricked our hearts about the plight of the unborn, and our businesses were really successful at that time. And we began to pray and ask God what he'd have us do. And so we started an organization, a small little pro-life organization called Cities for Life, where we create a life network, basically gathering together all the other pro-life ministries and being a presence on the sidewalks at the local abortion clinics to give these mothers a chance and a voice and an opportunity to change their mind. And we'll take them in and help them and throw baby showers and link them up with doctors who will deliver their babies for free. And since that time, the statistics in North Carolina show that the number of abortions has dropped significantly. So we began to take business meetings out in front of the abortion clinic, and we would pray that the abortion clinic would be replaced with an adoption agency before we'd actually start our business meeting, and then we would meet with people about business. It was just a unique way to go about taking meetings, but ultimately we realized that whatever we do for life is going to be that thing that lasts the most, and God cares for these babies, and so should we.
Jason, you and David will share more about valuing life at the Celebrate Life dinner September 29th in Binghamton. Any details about that?
We are going to share our story, the entire story about how HGTV fired us and the reason why, which was linked directly to our stand for pro-life. And so we'll get really into the details and show you maybe some vulnerable moments ourselves where we actually acted pretty cowardly. So we just encourage folks, come out to the event, support this great organization, and we hope to see you there.
That's Jason Benham. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report. You can also subscribe to any of our news features or download them to hear them again at fln.org/podcast. That's fln.org/podcast. Let's head to the Weather Center one more time. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we find the cold front that brought showers and thunderstorms last night and this morning, pushing south and east. And in its wake, clearer, cooler, and drier air will settle in for a moonlit night tonight and for some sunshine tomorrow. In forecast form, though, for this afternoon, there'll be additional showers and even a rumble in parts of Pennsylvania, with clearing skies coming in from the north and clouds giving way to some sunshine before the afternoon is through in parts of western and central New York. It will be cooler than it was this time yesterday, with temperatures this afternoon mainly in the 60s to near 70 in New York and in the upper 60s and 70s in Pennsylvania. Then tonight the moon will ultimately shine, but fog will form. Low temps upper 40s to the upper 50s. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a chance for a shower near Lake Erie and high temperatures in the 70s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams getting it done at the Weather Center today. Finally at noon, what if you were the boss? A new survey shows a lot of us think we'd be pretty good at the job. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Yeah, the study looked at 2,800 full and part-time workers in 28 countries. While 71% of those workers gave their boss a grade of B or better, nearly the same number of folks said they could do a better job than their current boss. Older workers were less enamored with boss man. 37% of baby boomers gave the head honcho a score of C, D, and F. And nearly identical numbers came from those Gen Xers. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. That is the world we live in this Thursday, as always. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.